Yes, if you will, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Galatians. Again, this is the letter we have just come out of. It's some time, a long journey. And I just want to open this time for testimonies about what God has done, not man, not this church, but just the Holy Spirit and the power of His Word. And so I'm just going to pray and ask God to bless what is spoken in this place of freedom to share. You can share from your seat. You can come up here, whatever you feel led to do. Or we can just all sit awkwardly and look over the Word together. We're going to trust and just believe in the Holy Spirit of God that He's going to move in this time. Amen. So I'm going to pray, and whatever's said in this place, we say it for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. I thank You for the family of God. I thank You for brothers and sisters in this place. Father, that our common bond being Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. Father, we thank You for that. We thank You that we, Father, as sinners, can be heirs to the King, Father, because of that relationship with Jesus. We pray that everything that's said in this place would honor and glorify You. Father, we know You've spoken during this series. We've seen lives change. We've seen difficult decisions and things going on in people's lives, and yet still just focusing on You, loving You, and growing closer to You. And so we pray that it'd be an encouragement for what we hear this morning, what we experience together. And Father, as we continue to worship this morning together, we pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I will share this. Almost everybody in here knows my wife and I are trying to sell a house and buy a house. And if you haven't gotten to experience that joy, there's just nothing more fun on the planet than trying to buy and sell a house. It's not stressful at all. It's, you know, it's easy sale. And as we've had two buyers walk away after being under contract, and as we've thought we were going to lose the house, we just had no doubt God wanted us in this house. Like he said, it's been really freeing to just be able to sit back and trust that God has us. We know ultimately this is not permanent. This is a temporary house in every sense of the word. So it's helped significantly to relieve the stress of that fun process.
I think that, like, in general, it's such a cool book that reminds you, like, how God's really alive and active. And then, like, you read through it, you can always find something that you can apply to, like, right now. Like, you don't run into anything where you're like, oh, this is whatever, they were talking specifically about this. But you read through it and you're like, yes, we live in an age where people are distorting the gospel. Yes, we live in an age where we don't really want to serve people. Yes, we live in a time and you're just going through it and you're like, oh my gosh, how can it be that you know, like, we haven't really changed that much as people. We've been reading this for hundreds of years, and we're still running into the same exact issues. And God is still the same exact patient God who is still waiting and who is still, like, you know, keeping this available for us to keep reading it over and over again so that we can keep coming back to Him.
What I get out of Galatians is Steinbeck said that now that we don't have to be perfect, we can be good. And that's what Paul was talking about, the freedom in Christ. We don't have to be perfect anymore. We can be good. We don't have to look at everything we do. We can look at what the Spirit is leading us, not what the flesh is telling us is required, but what the Spirit is telling us what God wants. And Paul's listening with the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit leads naturally into Ephesians, which is coming up next in the Bible. And that's what I enjoy about Galatians.
Well, off of that, I like how the freedom that he talks about in the book of Galatians is not freedom to live recklessly, or freedom to live in sin, but freedom to live for Christ. It's freedom within the bounds of the gospel. That's the true freedom, unlike the freedom that the world offers. There's really no freedom at all, but enslavement to sin.
As I like to say, Galatians reminds us that above the cross, the sign did not say, yeah, but. There's not a bunch of yeah, buts to Christ's victory on the cross. You know, there is, yeah, but you got to be circumcised. Yeah, but you got to follow the law. Yeah, but. So there is no yeah, buts in the cross of Christ.
Amen.
Anyone else? I don't want to rush. I really was holding out for a Donaldism, and we got one on the, but leave it to Donald. I always love his statements. Everybody's, man, it's awesome. Any other comments or anything that you see before we move on? Definitely don't want to rush. I'll leave the awkward silence out for just a few more moments, and we'll move forward if nothing else. Do this for me, if you will, in the book of Galatians. I just want to just put a little bow kind of on top, if you will. It's hard for a preacher to open the Word and stand before a group of people and not try to add something. That's a difficult task, but I feel wasn't going to do that, but I feel led just to add a couple of things this morning. I want you to look in Galatians chapter 1. If you weren't here for this study and new to the book of Galatians, not understanding necessarily what this letter is about, I think it's important to grasp this one thing. Look in Galatians 1, starting at verse 8. And this is Paul writing a church that he loves, the church that he's planted, who understands the freedom that's in Christ, but as Alan was saying, have somehow tried to put themselves back in that freedom that's found in the world or adding things in religion. And really, there's no freedom in that at all. It really only enslaves us and entangles us and more. And what Paul is writing these people, begging them to understand, is this true freedom that's found, right? This true freedom that's in the gospel. And here's what he tells them in verse 8. As Paul is writing this church, people that he loves, he says, but even if we, talking about him, those writing this with him, the scribes, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that was already preached to you. In other words, this freedom in Christ that's already found, this hope, this truth, the life, all of these things that is found in Christ. If anything else that was preached to you other than that which has already been preached, let him be accursed. He's talking about himself. He's saying if anyone in this life tries to tell you anything like what Donald was talking about, yeah, Christ is enough, but you need to be circumcised. Yeah, but you need to have this kind of eating habits. Or yes, you need to follow this kind of rule or this kind of thing or jump through this hoop or do this kind of dance or any of those things. He's telling them, let them be accursed. In other words, putting just a damnation on them, if you will, of how serious that is. He's saying, listen, enough of this. There is freedom found in Christ. He goes on and really talks about the idea of justification and how this whole thing works. Just kind of fast forward with me there, just real quick, and I'll be done. Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 16, he says, yet we know that a person is not justified. The word justified meaning this justification, this just if you had never sinned, really the simplest way to put this. It says, by works of the law, but through faith in Christ. Really, if you want to know the nutshell of Galatians, it's this right here. You cannot do anything to make God love you any more than he does right now. That's a beautiful side of the coin. When you look at that, that's a shiny side of the coin that you look and say, man, there is truth right there. That is good truth that I can't do anything to make God love me any more than he does right now. And that's all of us. No matter what stage of life you're in, what you've done, what you will do, what you haven't done, what you won't do, God cannot love you any more than he does right now. That's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of what Paul is telling these people. You've already been set free. You have the freedom. Why would you go back and enslave yourself? It's this silly illustration I used of someone, I used Shawshank Redemption, this movie of this man breaking free from prison and escaping and being on the run and then somehow getting out and saying, you know what, I think I'm going to go back. Going back to the prison saying, you know what, I give up, you caught me. It'd be a silly ending to a movie, and that's just like us. Paul is saying, you've been set free, you're on the run, you can run away from this bondage that you're in. Why would you ever go back and put the chains back on? You've been set free. Well, the beauty of that coin is this, is that while you can't do anything to make God love you more, the flip side of that shiny, new, beautiful coin and the truth that's on the other side is you can't do anything to make God love you any less. That's the beauty of the gospel, man. You don't have to perform. You don't have to be a certain race, as he was talking here of this Jewish religion or the law or being circumcised or eating something or not eating something. Man, all of that was to point people to an idea that, man, I need a Savior. I need someone to save me. I can't do this on my own. That someone, and the only one, is Jesus. So no matter where you're at this morning, understanding that is the beauty of what he is writing, is basically the gospel-soaked letter of Galatians, of reminding these people, man, stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to work your way to it. Stop trying to be perfect, as Donald says. Stop trying to be religious. Stop trying to add things to it. Jesus is enough. And so I think where it hit so many of us in the personal conversations I've had with people through this series, it has been this, that, man, I just feel a sense of relief. Right, I don't feel as stressed out about my faith of man, I need to pray more, I need to read my Bible more, I need to do all those things. And while all those things may be true, the idea is that we don't do those things to make God love us anymore. He can't. He's already given you His Son. What more can He do to love you any more than that? Right? That's enough. And so what we do is where true freedom comes, and like Alan said, not freedom for the world, but freedom in the gospel, freedom tied to Christ and the Holy Spirit. Where freedom comes is saying, man, because of that great love, that's why I want to read my Bible more. I want more of that, right? That's why I want to pray more. I want to talk to the Creator that gave me that relationship. I want to praise the Son who died in my place, right? That great exchange moment that we talked about in Galatians that is critical for us to understand just to live life. That critical moment where Jesus laid down His righteousness and exchanged it for your sins. He took your sins upon Him as He laid His righteousness down. And as His righteousness is laying down, we can pick it up and lay down our sins. That's the great exchange that Paul is reminding them. You've been set free. So I think for us, just kind of in a recap of that, and a beautiful time of going into worship, of taking communion together for those who are believers this morning, is that of understanding what happened in that moment. Christ laid down the righteousness of God in exchange for your sins so that you could lay down your sins and exchange it for the righteousness of God. Any bargain owners in here? That's a pretty good deal, right? That you get to lay down your nasty sins, your sins that the wages you earned were death, and pick it up and somehow receive eternal life in heaven. That's a good deal. So as we go into a time of just thinking about that and thinking about the gospel, I just want to tell you kind of how we do communion. To us, these are just elements. There's nothing special about them. It's bread and juice. But what it represents is so much more. It represents that salvation moment. It represents a moment of remembrance, a time that we can go back and reflect on what Christ did for us in that great exchange. And so there is no thing here about you got to be a member of this church, or you got to come up here and a special handshake or a secret code or something like that. It's simple. Do you know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? Have you been set free? First, I would love to challenge you in this. If you don't, why not now? Why not come to a moment where you say, man, I want that. I'm a bargain hunter today. I want that great exchange where I lay down my sin and pick up the righteousness of God. If that's you today and you need to do that, don't leave this place without falling in love with Jesus today. He loves you so much that He gave His life for you. But if that's you and you've already made that decision, then we want you to take. We want you to take of this supper together. And that's what it is. It's an act of worship, an act of remembrance, a time of just pure worship of, man, He did this for me. It's love. It's worship for a great God. And so that's what we do. If that's something that you want to take up together, the way we take it is a family kind of meal style. We take that together as a community of friends and believers and brothers and sisters. So I'm going to pray. And then for those that want to take, I'm going to open the dish here. You come and grab one of each. Take it back to your seat. We'll read some scripture and take that together in an act of remembrance and an act of worship together, okay? Let me just pray, and then you'll come and grab these elements. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for this wonderful time that we've had in Your Word over the last few months of just digging through this book and going verse by verse and just seeing the passion of the Apostle Paul as he writes these people that he loves and just thinks so much of. And Father, just wants them to understand that they don't have to do anything else. They don't have to try to earn your love, or they don't have to dress a certain way or do a certain thing or be from a certain place or any of those things. Father, that you sent your Son for all, and that you sent him to set us free, to set us free from the bondage of just sin and ourself, and that we could turn to a Savior, the one that we knew we needed all along, that we can't do this on our own. I can't be good enough. I can't be perfect. But there was one who was perfect. He died in our place, laid down the righteousness of God, and his body was pierced and broken and beaten. His blood was shed. And Father, on that moment on the cross, salvation made possible for all those who would believe, no matter what they've done, no matter what they will do, no matter what they haven't done or what they won't do. Father, you made a way. And it's all about you, and that's the true freedom. That's why when we put this series together, this time where we said we feel like we need to go to the book of Galatians, that's why we felt drawn to this one word, free. And so, Father, I pray that people have been set free. I pray that people have come to know you for the first time, and then I pray that those that already knew you, Father, have just walked closer in intimacy with you and understood a little more about what freedom is. Father, it's not that we don't try to be good from now on. We do. We want to be a light. In fact, your word tells us that we are a light, not that we even have a choice. I guess we can either be a good or a bad light. We are salt. We can either be good or bad salt. But the reason we do those things is because of this great freedom and how you've set us free. We give back because of how you loved us. And Father, we just we thank you. Without the cross, none of this is possible. We're not good enough on our own. We can't manufacture some kind of holiness. Apart from you, God, we're nothing. And so that's why we come to a moment where we celebrate the cross. We celebrate the fact that you willingly laid your body down. You willingly shed your blood for the remission of sins. That's why we take Lord's Supper. That's why we take communion together, is to remember and to worship. So, Father, may it be pleasing to you. May we not take it in a way of just ritual or religion or just because we feel like we need to, but may we worship. May we be at a place where it's true remembrance and we honor and respect you and Jesus, your death on the cross, as you commanded us to do. Father, may this time be pleasing to you in worship. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to take in the Lord's Supper today, there's no... Our de facto song when we do Lord's Supper is "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." Think about that, man, how deep the Father's love, that the wages of sin is death. That's what we earned by being sinners. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But because of Jesus, because of this bread that you hold that represents his body, nothing special about it. It's a stale cracker. But it represents his body that was broken and it was pierced, laid down on his own accord. And then the cup that represents his blood that was shed for the remission of our sins, that all of us can have an opportunity to have a relationship with him. That's amazing. That's a Father's love that's so deep that it's hard to even comprehend, that kind of grace. We'll take this together. I'll read in Scripture this morning. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Thankful for that body that was broken this morning. Amen. "In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Paul goes on to say in his letter to the church of Corinth, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So that's what we've done this morning in remembrance of him. I'm going to pray, and Jesse's going to lead us in a song. I have a few closing thoughts, and then we'll be dismissed today. It's been a pleasure to worship with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time of just in the busyness of not life's just slowing down and just reflecting on this precious gift. We say how deep the Father's love, that you would, Father, just willingly lay down your life, shed your blood, Father, for us to have a relationship with you. That is an amazing love. May we just continue to in worship together. Father, in just a moment of reflection, if we need to not sing, if we need to just listen, if we need to pray, we need to run, we need to dance, whatever we need to do, Father, there's freedom to do that in this place, just as long as we're worshiping you. Father, may it be a sweet time of remembrance as we continue to think about your death, your freedom that is offered in Christ. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.